If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 5. We shortened worship up at the beginning today for a reason. At the end of the service, the worship team is going to come back, and we're going to just invite everybody to come forward and spend the last few minutes together worshiping around the altar and just believing God's going to touch lives. So I want to prepare you for that. This morning, we're going to talk about how to face a crisis. A few weeks ago, we talked about how to face a crisis. Today, I want to talk about how do you face opposition? What do you do when someone opposes you? I mean, flat, have you ever had someone, maybe sometimes in family, families oppose each other? Or at work, it happens in the church. I've had people oppose me in my previous role at Assembly of God World Missions. The last several years, I held a leadership position, especially for part of that time. That at times I made decisions that people didn't like and opposed. Here we're talking about the disciples. If you remember, we've been talking about a few chapters ago in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were simply going to the temple one day to pray. As they were going to the temple, there was this man who was lame and he was begging for money. Remember that? He was 40 years old and never walked a day in his life. He had never walked a step in his life. And as Peter and John were walking by this lame man, he reached out to him wanting money. He was begging for money. And Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And Peter reached down and grabbed that man by the hand and pulled him up, and he was miraculously healed. First time in 40 years he had ever taken a step in a day in his life. And the Bible says he was running and leaping and praising God. You would too, right? If you had never walked, that's how you got to be. And he ran into the temple praising God, and a big crowd drew. They all had seen this guy. This guy, I mean, it was his place. If you went into the temple, you walked by this lame man. So they're like, "What happened to you?" And Peter got up and said, "We didn't heal this man. God healed him and preached about Jesus." And you know what the religious leaders did? They didn't celebrate this man's healing. They didn't thank God. They arrested Peter and John out of jealousy. And they took him to court, and they actually threw Peter and John into prison. But last week we talked about an angel came and miraculously set Peter and John, delivered them out of prison, but told them, "Hey, tomorrow morning go back in the temple and keep telling people about Jesus." That's where we pick up in the story. Look at chapter 5, verse 22. "But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, 'Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' And the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. When they brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in the name of Jesus? And look, you filled all of Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" The first thing you have to do when you face opposition, and let me say, sometimes opposition comes through people, but I can say that most of the time, the source of the opposition you're going to face in your life comes from the devil. Do you know what the devil's goal in your life is? It's to destroy your faith. So when Satan attacks you, when maybe he'll attack your body with sickness. You know why he attacks your body with sickness? Because he wants you to quit suffering for God. He wants to destroy your faith. He may attack your finances. You know why Satan attacks your finances? To cause you to lose your faith. He may attack you through relational conflict. But do you know why Satan attacks your in relationships? It's to cause you to lose your faith. See, Satan wants you to give up on God. And so the first thing you have to do when you face opposition in your life is walk in obedience. See, obedience isn't based upon how we feel. Obedience to Jesus isn't based upon how we love. Here's what Jesus said. He goes, "If you love me, you obey my commandments." That's one reason I try as a pastor, and I fail sometimes. I never try to use guilt on you or scare tactics on you. You know why? Because guilt and scare always end. But I know this, if you obey God because you love him, there's no end to that, right? I don't have to constantly try to scare you or guilt you into being obedient to the word of God. If you obey out of love, there's no end to that. No one could take that from you. I want to encourage you, when you face opposition, that's the time to walk in obedience. Don't compromise. Don't try to settle things. So many times what happens is when we face opposition, you know, by nature, I'm a fixer. I had to learn in my marriage when Kathy bought me a problem. Sometimes she just wanted me to listen. She didn't want me to always fix it. Can I get an amen, ladies? When Kathy bought me a problem, I thought she wanted me to fix it. I'm like, you don't want me to fix it? Then why'd you bring me the problem? You know what I mean? That was my thinking. And finally she goes, I just want you to listen to me sometimes. You know how hard that was for me not to do anything? Sometimes when Satan opposes us or conflict happens in family or in your finances and your health, we try to be Mr. Fixer. You know what? Don't try to fix it. Just trust God with it. So many times we put our hands on things God never intends you to put your hands on. Listen, we walk in obedience. We walk out of love. The apostles looked at the and said, we should obey God rather than man. Now look at this. Look what happened when they heard this. Look at verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and they plotted to kill them. Now, how many know the apostles had a bad couple of days? All they did one day was go to the temple to pray. All they were doing is going to the temple and pray. They see a man who never walked. God heals them through them. And then people actually ask him, by what power and authority did you heal this man? And they said, Jesus. Then they get arrested. Then they get set free. Then they get arrested again. And now they're plotting to execute Peter and John. That's a bad day. Let me tell you a second thing about when you face opposition. Listen to this. Opposition does not mean you're outside of God's will. Just because you're facing opposition does not mean you're outside of God. Listen to me. I think this is for somebody today. One of the hardest things to learn in the Christian life is this. We commit our life to Jesus, and maybe we clean our life, and we're living for God better than we've ever lived before, and we have this thought, my life is going to get better. I've quit doing this, and I quit doing that, and I'm going to church, and I'm praying, and I'm reading my Bible, and I think my life's going to get better. But what tends to happen? Well, in your life getting better, it gets worse. And so many times, that false expectation that just because I commit to my life, I'll never have a problem again, I'll never get sick again, my wife will make me my favorite food every night for dinner. We think our life's going to be smooth sailing from that point on. And then all of a sudden, bad things happen to us. And because we have this expectation that once we give our life to Jesus, all of our problems go away, sometimes when problems come, we can't handle that gap. But listen, there's a real explanation for that. Again, why does the devil oppose you? To destroy your faith. The very time Satan's going to throw opposition at you, the very time Satan's going to attack you is when you increase your commitment to God, because he wants you not to keep doing that. He wants you to throw it all away. Again, the Satan, the Bible says, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to kill your faith. And he wants you to destroy your faith in Jesus. So when you have this expectation, I've given my life to Jesus, and then things get worse or not better, sometimes we think, well, this didn't work for me. Well, this whole Bible thing may be true for someone else, but it's not true for me. And we throw away our faith. That's the very thing the devil wants you to do. And one of the things that we have to come to our Christian life to really mature and grow is that just because you face opposition does not mean you're outside of God's will. Was Peter and John in God's will? Yes. They healed a man and preached Jesus. That's the middle of God's will. And what did they get for it? Arrested, and now they're plotting their death. Just because, listen. Just because bad things are happening to me, to you, does not mean God's against you. Say it again. Just because bad things may be happening to you does not mean God is against you. In fact is, sometimes when I get all these attacks, that's when I know I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. Because if I'm not doing what God wants me to do, Satan doesn't bother with me. I've kind of learned when you get ready to start a new ministry Are you going to take a step of faith in your giving? Or are you getting ready to step of faith, believing for healing? Or you start witnessing to your family, and all these bad things start coming on you? That means you're doing exactly what you ought to be doing. Listen, if you're an apathetic Christian, or if you're a wishy-washy Christian, Satan doesn't attack you. He's completely content with how you are. Satan tends to attack us when we take that step of faith, when we start reading our Bible for the first time, when we start praying for the first time, when we start giving for the first time, when we start a new ministry, we make a new commitment. That's when you're going to be under the attack of the devil, because he's a bad devil. He's an enemy who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So I want everyone here to know, just because you're facing opposition, or maybe you're going through a bad time in your life, doesn't mean you're outside of God's will. It may mean you're in God's will. And that's why you keep walking in what? Obedience. You walk in obedience. You just keep doing the next right thing. I mean, there was a time when my wife and I were in Egypt, and it was so hard. When we first got there, it was so hard. And I didn't understand anything. I couldn't do anything right. And I thought, I can't do this. I'm supposed to live here for 3 years. There's no way I could. And every time I get thinking about living in Cairo for 3 years, I would get so discouraged. But you know what I had to do? I had to stop thinking a three-year timeline. I had to start thinking, you know what? I just got to live in Cairo today. Tomorrow I ain't here yet. I just got to get through this day. And if you're going through opposition, maybe you're going through a battle in your family, maybe you're going through a battle in your faith or a battle in your health, listen, a battle in your fight, listen, you just got to live in faith one day at a time. Don't try to figure out, well, what am I going to do if this happens? You know, we start thinking of all these scenarios that may happen. Well, you can't control that anyway. Just get through today. If you're struggling at work, just go to work on Tuesday. Hopefully you're off tomorrow and say, I'm just going to get through this day. Today, I'm going to walk in obedience and do what God's told me to do, and I'm going to be a good employee today. If you're struggling in your marriage, all you got to do is be a good husband today. Be a good wife today. If your children are rebellion and you don't know what to do with your kids, all you got to do is be a good parent today. It's just today. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries on its own. Amen? You just live for today. You walk in obedience. You do the next right thing. So first thing that happens when you face opposition, you walk in obedience. Second thing is you got to know, just because you're facing difficulty doesn't mean God's against you. Doesn't mean your faith isn't working. It doesn't mean the Bible's not true. It just means the devil's a bad devil. Make sure when bad things happen to you, you blame the right one. You know what the devil really wants to do to you? Is to cause you hard times and get you to blame God for it. That pleases the devil more than anything else in this world. I'm going to cause you problems, and you're going to blame. The devil sits back and laughs at us when we do that. You know that? It gives him great pleasure to cause you pain and difficulty, and then see you blame the Jesus who died on the cross for you for that pain and difficulty. Walk in obedience. No, just because things are not comfortable right now doesn't mean God's not happy. Number three, you need to go deeper in your worship. We go deeper in our worship. Oh, look what happened. So they're getting ready to plot to kill them. Now I'm going to jump down to verse 27. So when they brought them together, they set Peter and John before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you tend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and other apostles answered him and says, we ought to obey God rather than man. Again, walk in obedience. The God of our fathers raised Jesus up, whom you murdered by hanging on the tree. In him God has exalted the right hand to be the prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. So also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey them. And they agreed with him, and they called the apostles, and then they beat them. Now look at that. Peter stands up and says, all we did was do what Jesus called us to do. And they actually agreed. And then they had them whipped. They actually took Peter and the apostles, stripped a shirt off their back, tied their hands to a pole, and took a whip, and gave him 39 strikes. Psh, psh, psh. You know what that word whip means in the Greek? It means skin. They whipped them so much, they took the skin off their backs. And again, what did Peter and the apostles do? Heal a lame man and tell people about Jesus. It went from a bad day to a real bad day, right? Now look, listen, what you're getting ready to see here, I promise you, is the key to the Christian life. Look at this. They beat them and command them shall not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council. Look at this. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus. They didn't blame God for what happened to them. The Bible says they rejoice. They said, Jesus suffered for us, and now we got to suffer for Jesus. And they rejoiced. That's a deeper level of worship. When you face opposition, don't stop worshiping God. That's the time to start worshiping God. This morning I was praying for the service, and I wrote this down. The hardest times are the greatest times to worship. I'm going to say it again. The hardest times are the greatest times to worship. It's easy to praise God when everything's going great. You get the raise, everybody's healthy, your wife's cooking your favorite dinner, kids are behaving. Oh, praise Jesus, right? That's easy. But what happens after 39 stripes? What happens when the devil takes your health? What happens if the devil starts interfering in your family life? What happens when you start having more month than you do money? Can you rejoice in God then? That's real worship. When you can rejoice in God when things are not going well. When you can rejoice in God when you're experiencing pain. When you can rejoice in God in the midst of your suffering. When you can rejoice in God when you don't understand what's happening to you. When you don't blame God for your circumstances, but you worship God. Because worship isn't about what God has done for you. Worship is about who God is. Stay with me. Worship means you give worth to the person you're worshiping. You give worth, worship. You give worth to the, you don't worship Jesus for just what he's done for you. You could do that. We did that communion day. We thank God for the cross. But worship is more than thanking God for what he has done. It's praising God for who he is. You worship by giving worth, value to the person that you're worshiping. See, it's one thing when Kathy thanks me for taking out the garbage, which I don't do enough. It's another thing when she praises me for being kind, for being honest, for being faithful. See the difference in that? It's one thing to thank a person for what they've done for you. It's another thing. So, you know, my wife and I had birthdays the last few weeks, and Kathy bought me a card. And I read the card, but you know what I really want to read is not what the card said, but what she wrote. Because the card, I mean, that's just somebody else, right? Somebody get paid to write a poem, and it's nice. I picked out one for Kathy and snuck it in my backpack and got to Florida, and I gave it to her on her birthday in Florida last week. But I noticed Kathy, she kind of quickly read through the card, but what she read was, slow down to read, is what I wrote to her. That's worship. That's worship. Worship is expressing your love to God, not just for what he's done. Because listen, your life's going to have peaks and valleys, friend. If your faithfulness to God is based upon what he's done for you or how you feel in that moment, your worship will be up here, then it'll be down here, then it'll be up here. How many of those of us who lived a few days, that's just kind of life, right? People, it's just kind of up and down. But when your worship is not based just on what God's done for you, but it's based upon who he is, your worship can always be up here. So here's my challenge for Memorial Day weekend, a day of remembrance, a weekend of remembering. Will you take your worship to the next level? We're all at different places in our worship, but I want you to take it to the next level. Again, not because of what God's done for you, but because of who he is. So when you face opposition, walk in obedience. Walk in obedience. Number two, know just because you're facing opposition doesn't mean you're not in God's will. It may mean you're exactly doing what God's called you to do. But number three, don't stop worshiping God when you face opposition. Go deeper in your worship. See, in Acts chapter 5, that's the first time the disciples got to worship God because they suffered. Before then, they're worshiping Jesus because of the resurrection. They saw the resurrected Jesus, and they worshiped Jesus because of what he had done. But here, they were suffering. They were mistreated horribly. And so they got to worship God, not for what he did, because you know what? He didn't deliver them. They got beaten, 39 stripes, skin taken off their back. But that did not impact their worship. Let me ask you, will your circumstances impact your worship negatively? And if it does, you know what that reveals? Your level of commitment to God. That's what it reveals. If you can only worship God when things are good, you got a surface relationship with Jesus. But if your worship is deep enough that even in the midst of your suffering, you can lift up your hands and rejoice in Jesus. Oh, friends, I'm telling you, if you can do that today, God will take you to places you've never known before. Your relationship with Jesus will go deeper and greater than ever before. Because you've gone from worshiping Jesus for what he's done to worshiping Jesus for who he is. And that's a great thing. Would you stand with me? Our worship team is going to lead us in worship. It's early. We purposely did this so we'd have time. I want to invite everyone to step forward and come around these altars. Hannah's going to lead us in worship. And we're going to go deeper in the things of God. Amen. Father, I just give you this time right now. Just come on, step forward. Come on down around the altars. We just give you this time. God, we don't want to be guilty of just worshiping Jesus for what he's done. God, we want to go deeper in that and worship Jesus for who he is. So right now, Father, we dedicate the next few moments around this altar. And I pray everyone here will take a step forward in their worship. They'll go deeper in their worship to Jesus. In your name. Amen.